Welcome to Norsquare Investments Active Insights Podcast. Norsquare Investments is dedicated to bringing differentiated active investment strategies to financial advisors and investors through our multi-boutique asset management platform. Today, Mark Goodwin, Chief Executive Officer of Norsquare Investments, will discuss the approach to building high-conviction equity portfolios of advisory research investment management with Matt Swaim, Managing Director and Executive Chairman. Advisory Research is a partner firm in the Norsquare platform and sub-advisor to Norsquare Advisory Research Small Cap Value Fund, ticker ADVGX. Matt and Mark, we look forward to your discussion.
Thanks, Diane. As you mentioned, at Norsquare, we seek out best-in-class active managers for our platform, and our partners at Advisory Research have a long history of success with their approach to fundamental equity investing. Matt, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Matt, Advisory Research has managed equity portfolios for over 30 years, primarily for institutional investors. Many financial advisors and individual retail investors may not be familiar with the firm. Can you give us some background on the firm and your investment team?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Advisory Research was founded in Chicago over 30 years ago, and the primary focus of our business has been to serve institutional clients through highly researched, more concentrated portfolios. And we've been doing that through over several market cycles and have done that in a way that provides unique portfolios to institutional clients. We are a partner-owned firm, meaning that the employees own the firm. We have our capital invested right alongside our clients. All the partners invest in portfolios right next to their clients. And we think that that, one, creates sustainability of the firm, obviously being around for over 30 years, that has held true. And two, aligned incentives with our clients. And our institutional investors certainly like that. And we think that the community that could access this mutual fund should take solace in that as well. So happy to be partnered with Norsquare on this opportunity.
Matt, as a fundamental manager, your investment approach is very research intensive, with a strong focus on stock selection. What would you say is the core investment philosophy of your team in managing equity portfolios?
Sure. So as we mentioned, we do a lot of research upfront to make sure that we understand the investment that we're making. So we are not traders. We are looking at the markets to buy businesses for our portfolios, and we buy those in the form of public securities, but we're looking at them as though we're buying the entire business. So it's important for us to buy it right, meaning that we're buying in an evaluation that's not demanding and that allows us to accrete higher returns if the investment pays out. We're looking for durable businesses, partly because we believe in the first rule of investing in our team. And first rule of investing is to not lose money. We want to make sure that if we do make an investment and the thesis does not play out, that we're likely walking away with our capital or something slightly more. And then we want to make sure that we have time on our side. So this business that we are investing in has the ability to put capital to work self-funded from the cash flows in their operations and continue to invest in the business to accrete earnings power on the behalf of shareholders. If you get those things right, you know, you have good, nice capital protection and you have a nice return on the reinvestment opportunity if we've invested in a well-structured business. Beyond that, we look for ways to create operational and strategic catalysts. So each business, and not every business, as we well know, is run perfectly, especially in the small cap space, there's often room for operational improvement. So beyond just the reinvestment opportunity, can the entire organization be more efficient? Can it get capital back to shareholders more efficiently? Have we properly thought about capital allocation? You know, those are things that we think we can add value alongside just a nice business opportunity. And then finally, after operational is strategic. We like to think of multiple ways to win with our businesses. Compounding is great, but if we have a well-situated crown jewel that maybe a larger business or a financial buyer would be interested in, often we can accrete a premium through a strategic outcome as well. So that continuum of great research, durable business, buying it at the right price, the ability to reinvest and compound, and then also have the upside of operational and strategic catalysts are kind of the continuum that we think through as a research team.
Matt, today we're talking about small cap value. And as such, you have to filter through the universe of small cap equities, either Russell 2000, Russell 2000 value, et cetera, to develop a workable set of potential investments. How do you get to that workable set? And in doing so, is your primary focus here on quality or value metrics?
Sure. So to get to that workable set, yeah, we have a few thousand businesses that we can choose from daily. And so I talked about in our process, we want to make sure that we do have some sort of durability to the business. So we are looking for profits. We're looking for cash flow. We're looking for responsible balance sheets. Those are things that are going to begin to screen our criteria. But then we want to make sure that we're buying them right. And to do that, you often have to go to inefficient parts of the market. So we'll look for things coming out of bankruptcy. We'll look for things that, you know, have great balance sheets and a redefined business plan. Maybe they're a smaller part of a larger organization that took them into bankruptcy, but something that made it uncommon or maybe other investors aren't looking at it. We'll look for spin-out opportunities. There's, you know, large cap companies that are constantly spinning out smaller businesses that likely were mismanaged inside those larger companies. So we want to look there. We look for management change. Somebody who's taking an asset that may have been managed a certain way or maybe undermanaged, but somebody that wants to take it to the next level and sees an opportunity for that business to expand. So, you know, we're looking in these different inefficient parts of the market where, you know, the typical sell side analyst or somebody in the investment community likely isn't paying attention to these things that are changing the potential outcome. And we want to target those, screen those, and make sure we're talking about those every week in our research meetings.
So to recap, what would you say the key characteristics are for a stock to ultimately become a holding in your small cap value portfolio?
Right. So in that beginning parts, making sure that the return profile and the financial profile are durable. So we want to make sure that we have those two things in place. And then to keep time on our side, we're looking for that reinvestment opportunity to compound with the business. So do they have the opportunity to continue to grow with their capital? Can they continue to grow their business? Can they create shareholders just doing that at a nice rate of return? And then management quality is part of that. Can they execute? Do we believe they can execute? Have our conversations showed that they have a nice handle on the business? So you line all those things up. It's likely a candidate if we can buy it at the right price. And then finally, as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, making sure that we stick to the operational and strategic catalysts often can give us more alpha relative to other portfolios if we get those two equations right as well.
Matt, as I look at some of our competitors in the small cap space, some of their strategies have several hundred positions, almost looking like a quasi-index in and of themselves. But your portfolios are more concentrated with high conviction positions. Can you talk about portfolio construction and what are your key goals? And to what extent does risk management play into the overall process?
So given the in-depth and substantial research that we put into each investment, we want that research to pay off. We can only do that 30 or 40 times in a great way every year. In the amount that we dig into the business and are out of the locations and meeting with the management teams. So we want our research to really be the catalyst to get a name in the portfolio and make that pay off for alpha. That's why we work towards high conviction. That's also been good for our organization with our institutional clients over the last 30 years. You know, we can be very additive to an index portfolio in that we can add a satellite type portion that can be alpha generating beyond just owning the broad market. And we think that is good for construction purposes. From a risk management perspective, you know, we certainly pay attention to diversification. You know, most studies would tell you that you get 95% of the diversification benefits once you go over 20 securities, if they're across the broad sector approach. So, you know, us up into the 35, 40 stock name range, we certainly get the benefits of diversification. We also have some single stock limits. We will not allow a position size, you know, to go above 5% of the portfolio. So we single stock wise, we make sure that we diversify there. And then finally, we have some sector limits. We will not go over 25% in any sector, with the exception of financials, where that we look at the subsectors there, banks, insurance, real estate, et cetera. So some nice diversification benefits across securities and sectors. We also layer on some additional risk management tools, looking at factor analysis. That has evolved over our 30-year history. There are a lot of tools today to make sure that you don't have unintended bets in your portfolio. So we layer on a factor analysis at the end to make sure that we're not overweight one substantial factor. So bring that all together, you know, we feel like we have a nice, well-rounded risk management process.
Matt, I know that you folks generally look to hold positions for the long term, but at the same time, you're continuously evaluating portfolios for your current changes. Can you talk about what issues or catalysts would result in you selling a particular position?
Sure. Yeah, I begin with the Darwinian process. So, you know, as we find something that has a more attractive risk return profile than something we currently own, you know, we'll look to make that change. Investments certainly have life cycles. So, you know, if we have compounded and we've played out the operational catalyst and the strategic catalyst seems relatively far off, it might make sense to rotate that capital into a new idea we've researched with a better risk return ratio. So that is the typical way that we'll rebalance into a new name. We also have forced turnover. So, you know, given how we think, it's a lot how strategic and financial buyers would think. So we have quite a bit of merger and acquisition activity where our companies are acquired and we receive cash. So that would also be forced selling activity that would provide a premium. The negative reasons we sell would be that, you know, poor execution. We've underwritten a thesis where they can reinvest, where they can get returns out of those investments, where they can enhance the return profile through margin enhancement, et cetera. If we just don't see progress and we're not selling, you know, one quarter in because of a hiccup, but if we see multiple quarters of them not moving towards our thesis or executing around our thesis, you know, it is time to move out. And I think that is something that small cap investors, especially in today's market, need to pay attention to. It is tremendously easy for some investors to be lazy with their positions. And there are enough good businesses out there that we want to move on if we don't see poor execution. And then finally, would just be something that surprises us. They do an acquisition with leverage that was off plan, changes the risk profile. You know, that's going to be time for us to move on because we've lost some trust in the partners of the management team. So those are kind of the reasons that we'd look to make a change in the portfolio.
Matt, changing gears for a minute to look at the macro environment. Equity markets in general have had more volatility in 2022. The Fed is on track to be less accommodative, and without question, geopolitical tensions have increased. As we move towards the end of the first quarter, where do you see the equity markets currently, and what's your general outlook for 2022?
I'll tell you, Mark, I get nervous when we don't have walls of worry to climb. You know, when the euphoria is out there and prices are too high and there's nothing that people are talking about as potential hurdles to overcome, you know, you typically get a market that doesn't have a lot of return potential to it. I wouldn't say that's where we are today. You know, we've probably begun a new business cycle through the pandemic. We didn't expect that to be the reason why the last business cycle ended, but that was the beginning of the next business cycle. And that starts with government support, accommodative policy. We get our legs under us and we begin to move forward. And, you know, the beginnings of this year was the begin to move forward with the Fed rate increases that need to happen, that typically happen in a business cycle. That was the wall of worry we began to climb. And now we have some geopolitical issues with the war in Ukraine. Again, commodity prices, inflation, things that this market has to digest. Those factors are still giving us opportunities to buy securities at pretty attractive valuations. And yes, we have to work through those issues, but the value of a business is defined in years, not quarters. And I do think that most of these issues in front of us will be resolved in the next few quarters here, which will allow a value to continue to accrete. So in an environment where the typical bond yields are well under 3 or 4%, we're finding businesses that should have double-digit returns over any reasonable holding period. We would expect U.S. small caps to be higher by the end of the year in that earnings power is going higher and they're reinvesting in the United States. And you know, those are good conditions for returns.
Given the anticipated rising interest rates, there's obviously been a negative impact on, you know, discounting cash flows of growth companies. Would you say that with this backdrop, you see advantages to using a value approach for an investor's equity exposure?
Yeah, I mean, if you buy companies right and you're not at nosebleed valuations, you know, you certainly have more potential to not only protect capital, but find moderately rising returns. And so, we didn't enter 22 with companies trading on price to sales ratios. You know, we entered 22 with companies trading at 10 to 12 times earnings, and our portfolios are down very modestly, you know, to start the year relative to the broad market indexes. So just having that backstop, you know, has been very good. But, you know, as a value investor, we typically have, you know, harder assets, more durable assets. An inflationary environment, if not too high, is really good for returns on those assets. You get pricing power, you leverage your asset base. You know, a little bit of inflation is really good for a value investor in that, you know, you get higher returns off your assets that that might be depreciated. So, you know, we're pretty excited with what we see going forward. It has not been a great value environment for the past few years here. And there's been a lot of excitement and story type stocks. But if you look at really making an economy move, it's driven by more value-based investments. And we think the pieces are in place here for us to have a pretty good run.
When you look across the various sectors among small caps, where do you think you're finding the best relative value opportunities today?
Yeah, certainly the industrial economy is we're spending a lot of time. You know, it has been a broad industrial recession or stagnant growth for the past 5 to 7 years, really. It really never got going after the 2008-2009 crash. And while there was some moderate growth in some of the industrial sectors, we have a lot of work to do. We have inventories to replenish. We have housing to build. We have supply chains to bring back to the U.S. We likely have some energy investments that we need to make. No matter how you're thinking about how we're going to produce energy, whether it's oil or nuclear or something greener, all of those things take good hard assets and investment. And we just think there's a lot of activity to come there. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of opportunity in industrials, and those have, you know, really giving us an opportunity here with the market taking an approach that selling off some of these investments here recently. There's a lot of great opportunities out there. We also think the consumer's pretty healthy. The job market's strong. Their balance sheets are strong because of the way the government supported us through the pandemic. They have spending power. Yes, gas prices are in front of us. Yes, inflation hits pocketbooks on a daily basis. But we see wage growth coming to them. We see some confidence and great balance sheets, and we think there's some good opportunities in the consumer area. So it's an exciting time to be a value investor.
Matt, many investors have increasingly looked to passive investment strategies for their equity exposure, particularly in the large cap side of things. How does Advisory Research's particular style of active management provide advantages for investors, particularly for small caps?
I think we do a really nice job underwriting to and buying in right to generate returns. But I think we've really developed skills over 30 years to get close to boards and management teams and provide for catalysts that can enhance IRRs for our investors, because we're speeding up the process for those assets to be recognized as valuable. We're investing more heavily. We're shifting the capital towards the returns for equity investors. We are actively making change and being thoughtful about how to maximize those returns and enhance those returns by having a communication dialogue with the management team. So whether that ends up an asset being sold a year earlier than it was going to be, that's great for IRRs, right? Whether we get the assets better managed because we put talent around the asset, you know, that's enhancing the returns and creating a catalyst-driven event. So we are not perfectly, we won't be as correlated to the market because of that, because we don't know exactly which quarters these events will be announced and put out into the market. And so that not only provides diversification benefits, but it provides for some enhanced return potential relative to an index fund or a broad market portfolio.
Thanks, Matt. As we mentioned earlier, you are a partner in sub-advising the North Square Advisory Research Small Cap Value Fund, ticker ADVGX. Can you summarize the current investment strategy and portfolio allocation for the fund as we go into the first quarter?
Yes, the fund is positioned in the small cap value area of the market with about 40 positions, well diversified. So we are in market caps that are typically underneath 5 billion, smaller businesses that would not be at the top of the S&P 500.
Right, and number of holdings, potential for stocks to evolve into the lower mid-cap range, what would you say?
Yeah, we will not sell just because the market caps are going higher. 40 positions today, that top 25%, you know, maybe pushing up around $5 billion in market cap. So those may go up towards $10 billion if, you know, we double our money over a reasonable period of time. So, you know, that part of the portfolio will continue to grow, but we will not own mega cap and large cap securities in this portfolio.
Thanks, Matt. To wrap up, how do you see an actively managed high conviction small cap value strategy being best positioned in a diversified portfolio of an individual investor?
Yeah, I think individuals can begin to, given the product set that's out there today, begin to position their portfolios much like institutions do. You know, have a very low cost market-based index portfolio in the middle that gives you allocation to the broad market, but having a focused small cap value strategy as a satellite to that can not only provide diversification benefits, but can provide a return potential and alpha potential beyond the core market opportunity. So it should be an add-on to the equity portfolios of individuals, much like the institutions use it.
Matt, thank you for joining me today. This has been a great discussion.
Thanks, Mark. Always good to catch up.
Thank you for tuning in to our North Square Active Insights podcast. For more information on North Square Investments, our partners, and investment solutions, please visit our website at www.northsquareinvest.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. Although Advisory Research Investment Management believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects Advisory Research Investment Management's views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intention.